There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 754, April 22nd, 2018. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. And I say, what a Chinese firecracker we had in Shanghai. The Red Scare was bullish. No horsing around for triple play. Back to you, sir, the Mao and Ming of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Ricciardo is the overtaking guru. Max, too much, too quickly. McLaren, still disappointing. And we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. You know you want to. Nasser, keep up the good work. I also want to thank Toby for doing an outstanding job getting the website back because she was down and down hard. So, Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you doing?
I am doing good, sir. Thank you for asking. The flavor of the day is lemon and ginger tea here in Tampa. How are things in Cali?
Cali is getting warm, so I've got my rain Karthikeyan juice out.
Ah, the cucumber, huh? Very good.
Sweet loving.
Yeah, you know, this China was to Seb what Australia was to Lewis, and Seb was right in Melbourne when he said what goes around comes around, and victory for Danny Boy in Shanghai, very impressive, as the first for Red Bull at this track since 2009, which was the first ever Grand Prix they ever won, courtesy of the man who was on pole and should have won the race on Sunday. What was your take on the race, sir?
Fantastic race. I was so impressed. I think Ricciardo decided to say, well, with a safety car, good tires, there is no overtaking problem. And he really did it, as Christian Horner said, clinically, where Bottas probably is watching the tape and figuring out how it's done.
Well, Bottas has now gone two races where he should have won. But, you know, this is the first time in hybrid era that Mercedes team has gone three races without a win. Last four races in China were all won by Mercedes team. The boys in silver were in shell shock in Shanghai. The Wolfman must have been howling all the way back home. I sure would like to hear Nikki's thoughts on the new F1 willing culture. The change here, you think is the change is here to stay, or it may go back to business as usual in Baku?
I think business as usual is over. And I think the big difference is Red Bull beating the big two this early in the season.
Yeah, did you hear the comment when Ricciardo was asked if somebody had told him before the season started that Red Bull will have a win in 2018 before Mercedes? Did you read that? Did you hear or read that comment?
I did not read that comment.
He was asked what he would say, and he said, I would say something like Holy Testicle Tuesday, whatever that means.
It's an old Australian proverb.
Ah, just like the shoey tradition?
Exactly. And Bottas doesn't like the shoey.
No wonder he's not winning, huh?
Yes, maybe he needs to take a little sip out of that, get some good luck.
Yeah, put some spice in his aggressiveness. Shall we take a look at Colli now?
By all means, sir.
Well, Kimi thought he had the pole, and looks like Kimi. I'm seeing the Kimi of McLaren days in a red suit, which was long, long awaited and very good. But Seb took it away on his final lap, pole number 52 for Seb, and his fourth in China. First pole for Ferrari in Shanghai since the inaugural Chinese Grand Prix way back in 2004. And this was interesting. This is the first back-to-back lockout of the front row for the team since 2006, when Shumi and Felipe Baby shared the front row at Indy and many as in Manicou. The Ferrari fever was hot on Saturday, Both Mercedes on the second row was a surprise. Bottas again beating LCH. This was at least good for him. And half a second gap from Sainz got a taste of their own medicine. But for the sake of competition, let's hope the silver scenery is not totally replaced by red mist as the season progresses. Any thoughts on the qualifying, sir?
Yes, once again, I was very impressed. Back-to-back front rows for Ferrari. They're really putting it to Toto, and Toto is not happy with the spaghetti culture.
I wonder how Nicky is feeling.
He's feeling good because he's getting free Barilla every week.
That's good. Now, Red Bull occupied row three, Max ahead of Danny Boy, which is becoming quite the tradition. The Aussie, this was interesting, Clark. The Aussie made a last-minute engine change before quali, according to the team. And actually, I was listening to the interview from Christian Horner. The Renault engine was delivered with some bits missing, and they had to get parts from another unit. This was very strange. What's happening there with Edwin Chetillon and supply of engines?
I don't know, but I think it's funny. I think maybe they were stolen in transit.
I don't know, man. I mean, looks like they, you know, they have, Renault wants an answer from Red Bull by the end of May, whether they want their engines or not. Looks like they may have something other than Renault or Tag Heuer next year.
I hope so. You know, I really do. I'm tired of Red Bull whining and complaining after Renault gives them four world championships in a row. So you know what? Good riddance.
Yes. Now, the billionaire boys had a poor quali. Both Sirotkin and Stroll were out in Q1. The Russian was faster than the Montreal Canadian. The Toro Rosso Tiger from Bahrain. Pierre Gasly was also out in Q1. Final row was occupied by the Alfa Romeo Sauber driver's new boy Charles Leclerc, half a second faster than Marcus Ericsson. And I will leave it up to you to talk about your Dios in quali. What happened to him?
He, you know, had a little indigestion.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk, you know, optimism at McLaren where they would be if only they had something other than Honda. And maybe they'll come strong, but right now it's not looking all that super impressive.
Well, I mean, all you have to do is look at Williams. They have the world championship Mercedes motor, and they're completely incapable of doing anything positive with it.
Yeah, but they don't have Nando.
That's true. So that's why Nando is up where he is. He will finish the race in impressive style, of course, because he is a machismo de España. But nevertheless, you know, I thought, you know, for a while there, McLaren just thought, well, damn, we'll put a Renault in there and we'll be on pole. You know, I don't know. I think they assumed that because their name is McLaren, that they would have a great, great aero package and suspension. And that seems to be a problem right now.
Yeah. Going back to Williams, I'm not sure, maybe you might know this. Is Mike Coughlan the chief designer at Williams these days?
You know, I don't think so.
Okay, I'm not sure, but we can look into it. But I just hope they have not hired Mike Gascoigne.
Mike Gascoigne, he's commuting again.
Yeah. Okay, but it's very sad with both Williams and McLaren. You know, I was hoping they would do better than what they're doing right now. But, you know, if this trend continues, I cannot see Fernando Alonso staying in Formula One in like complete porca miseria that he's in right now.
Exactly. No, I think he's getting ready for change. I think he purchased a home in the United States, and from Google Maps, Google Earth, I spotted a Ford F-150 in the driveway.
Oh boy! I think he had to have a Renault Megane also sight next to it.
Well, you know, and the bumper sticker on the back said Camper Series.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, let's see what happens to him next year. It'll be interesting. Okay, shall we switch to the race now?
Si, bravo.
What say you?
Oh, fantastic start. And, you know, once again, Bottas has got to redeem himself, and he has a great start. I mean, he's driving a great car. The Ferraris are fantastic, so the start was very well done. Kimi, you know, couldn't stay ahead of him, but which is good because Kimi stays out of trouble. He knows you have to finish the race, unlike some young whippersnappers. But I thought the start was great.
Yeah, it was a great start by Seb, like you said, and I think the start was Valtteri Bottas was very impressive. He was able to split the Ferraris. which he was helped by Seb chopping off his own teammate, Kimi Raikkonen. And LCH was jumped by Max at the start. I think that's the whippersnapper you are referring to, and we'll come back to that in a few minutes here. Lance Stroll also made a very good start and was moving up the field in the opening laps. And you know what was very surprising? I thought that after the start that Seb was going to check out, but surprisingly, Bottas was hanging on well behind Seb, and on lap 5, he was only 2.3 seconds behind the race leader, and after these 5 laps, Lance Stroll has climbed up to 12. So I was very happy and impressed by Stroll's performance.
Certainly. Stroll, I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, but the way Ferrari was going, even though it was not pulling away, and like you said, looks like Ferrari has, dished out to Toto and Nicky, because if it continues like this, then things are looking very, very good for Sebastian Vettel.
Absolutely. I mean, Vettel is doing good, even though he finished, even Fernando passed him, but I don't know. To be honest with you, after Bottas leapfrog Vettel after the pit stops, I thought this was Bottas' race for sure.
That's what I thought. And, I was very surprised that he got the jump on him. But going back to the Sebastian situation, this is just a personal observation. I'm not saying I'm right or what. But I just get the feeling that Sebastian has more of a momentum and more of a hunger and desire to win a championship this year than Lewis. And because Lewis has been coming out, has been riding on a wave of many, many wins and championships last few years. So there is also this hunger factor of winning a first championship with Ferrari, which has, Seb's hero, Michael Schumacher, won many times. So it's turning out to be a good season. And Bottas, I was very surprised that he got the jump. Normally you see Seb doing that to other drivers. I thought he was going to win, and I was hoping he would, because this kid is under pressure from, not just from Lewis, but also Sebastian. And I would like to, and he's a good kid, and he's a good guy. And I would like to see Bottas retain his seat at Mercedes based on performance and results.
Nice guys finish last.
Yeah, that's what they, and you must, and I'm sure everybody noticed, while all this was going on, LCH was lacking the speed and the bite to get into top three. And there's a lot of discussion on the interweb that Lewis, and of course, one person who would always say on this is Nico Rosberg, and another person who will always have an opinion on such issues openly is our favorite Jacques Villeneuve. But there's a lot of chatter, that when Lewis is not in the best car, he is not the fighter we would expect him to be. And sometimes I get that feeling too.
I agree. I completely agree. He's not Fernando fighting Felipe Massa at the Nürburgring.
Or even Julian Palmer.
Karma.
Yeah, exactly. Now, for the second, this was going back to what you talked about, whippersnapper. For the second weekend in a row, Max made contact with Lewis. Both continued, but this allowed Danny Rick to pass his teammate. Then he did a classic late break job on LCH. Very, very impressive. Some cannot make such passes, and some mess him up most of the time. We know who the usual suspects are. As in Land Down Under, the race was turned upside down by a case of yellow fever on the track. On lap 31, we had the Toro Rosso tango, Pierre Gasly getting physical with his teammate Brendan Hartley. Gasly was so sorry and blamed on miscommunication with the team, which was pretty sad how it worked out. Now, what was interesting is Red Bull brought both cars into the pits at the same time and changed tires. Very surprisingly, this was not done by the Mercedes team. I mean, Bottas had already crossed the pit entrance, but they could have brought LCH into the pits, and Ferrari did not bring Seb in, which, maybe they thought it could go on and win the race again. But the LCH situation was a very surprising thing for me. What say you?
Oh, it was very surprising, and I know why it happened.
Tell me.
Well, they were so busy slurping and eating their Barilla with their red pasta sauce, stuffing their faces, that they forgot. Yes, and this free pasta for Niki Lauda is working out right.
And what's the inside line you have why LCH was not brought in?
Because they were spacing out. They were overcome by lycopene overdose.
Wow. This was the turning point of the race, positively for Danny Boy, negatively for Seb. Ricciardo took the lead from Bottas, and to no one's surprise, there was contact with Seb. Do you remember last race, when Max had this issue with LCH? I made a comment that if you're facing somebody like him or Maldonado in the early parts of the race, let him go, because sooner or later he's going to collect somebody else. And this is exactly what happened, you know. This kid has all the talent in this world, all the speed, all the opportunities. I think he does not agree to it, but he needs to cool down. Otherwise, you know, FIA is going to do to him what they did to Romain Grosjean and benched him for a race or two. Do you remember when Mark Webber called Romain Grosjean a first lap nutcase?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Max is not a first lap nutcase, but he's definitely a guy who's trying to get you past nutcase.
Yes. And he just doesn't have the elegance of Ricciardo's late breaking move in a chicane to make the pass.
Yeah. Yeah. He, you know, when he made contact with Seb, this really, really was no surprise to me. And even Seb, what really surprised me, how cool was Sebastian? Because on the team radio, all he said was something like, I think there is no need for me to say anything. And maybe Seb had realized that he was not going to win the race. Having seen him lose his cool so many times over the last few years, I was very surprised Sebastian Vettel kept his cool. But Dr. Marco, on the other hand, said after the race that Max should have won this Grand Prix.
Jos Verstappen is not saying that.
Yeah, but I mean, he also understands that, you know, I mean, you cannot win a race if you don't finish it. It's simple as that. And for a guy who has a very good package, at least in that race in Shanghai, I mean, he just needs to be a little bit patient, you know.
Yeah, and this is where Ricciardo shines. This is where Ricciardo could very well be at Mercedes next year if Ferrari blows it.
Yeah, it will be very good to see Ricciardo. The thing, big question there is, at this time, we don't know if they will have a Honda engine or a Renault engine. But if he goes to Mercedes, they already have a winning package. You know, it's like a turnkey winning project right now, and so is the Ferrari package right now. The Ferrari package would be very good for him because he is 3-0 as teammate to Sebastian. So we'll see how that works out. So the smiling assassin, that would be, of course, Daniel Ricciardo, took his sixth victory, and the pass he made on Hamilton has become a Daniel Ricciardo trademark. This was a surprise. He was emotional on the podium, but did not stop him from doing a shoey. He said in the interview, podium interview conducted by Martin Brundle, that I don't win boring races. And Ricciardo also set the fastest lap. Your thoughts, sir?
Fantastic race. I love the overtaking of everybody. And my favorite, of course, is when he overtook Bottas and won this race. And then the shoey. And Bottas freaking out. You can see his eyes going. He's thinking about all the bacteria. He's a germaphobe.
Yeah, the thing about Ricciardo's move, you know, I remember many years ago, I went to a go-kart race with a friend of mine, and two guys broke away from the pack. This was in the boonies of Northern California, and there were two guys battling for the lead and kept changing positions. One of them was Scott Speed's brother. My friend remarked to me during the race, I said, you know, this is a great battle. And he says to me, have you noticed? I don't remember who was doing what, but he said one guy, when he makes the pass, it's a clean pass. But when the other guy makes a pass, and these passes were occurring mostly in the same corners, he said there's always push and shove. So the thing with, that's the difference between Max and Daniel, you know. Daniel takes very risky moves, pulls them off, goes on to win without any trading pain, as they used to call on Speed TV. Or any fender bender or argy bargy most of the time. But the Max thing is sink or swim, you know. I'm taking you out or I'm going and winning this race. Even when he won in Mexico last year, which was very impressive, there was some argy bargy with Sebastian, if you recall.
Yes, yes. I think in a couple of years he'll be able to clean this up.
Yeah, he's what is he now, 2021?
Yeah.
He has done like 60-plus races. I mean, he should know better. Yeah, I'm sure he does, but he's just not executing that way in races. But the guy has immense talent, and I think he will smooth out the rough edges, just like Romain did and other people have done over the years.
Absolutely.
And victory has put Danny Boy fourth in the championship with 37 points. And Max, all he has to do is disable his self-destruct button on the opening lap and dive, enduring dive bombs. Otherwise, this guy is very, very lethal.
Yes, indeed.
Now, do you think Bottas is going to win more than two races this year the way he's going?
I don't think so. I think by the time we get to Europe, Ferrari and Red Bull are going to be looking really, really good. McLaren has already said their 2018 car really isn't here until we get to Spain.
Bottas is a nice guy, but you know, he doesn't need to be a nice guy on the track. And this was the first time he led a lap in the Chinese Grand Prix. But you know, on the other hand, thinking of the bigger picture, I think he did an excellent job. Did not crack under pressure from Seb while leading the race. He may not have the killer instinct of some of the great drivers and overtakers, but after two back-to-back second-place finishes, and a lot of people, myself, would say that he should have won both these races, he is now third in the championship with 40 points. And hopefully, you know, with performances like these, and if he can keep himself in the top three in the championship, hopefully he will be able to save his bacon at the Wolf dinner table when the time comes to decide who will be driving for Mercedes in 2019. You think we'll see him at Mercedes next year?
I would like to see him at Mercedes just to watch LCH squirm.
No, I think I don't know how it will go, whether he will rattle Danny's cage or Danny will rattle his cage, I don't know, but I would be very interested in seeing how it works out. And you know, nothing is forever, so there's always a change of scenery and regime change, as they call it. Now let's talk a little bit about Kimi, the new and improved Kimi Raikkonen. He got squeezed by his teammate at the start, which allowed fellow Finn Bottas to grab second. The two races Kimi has finished this season so far, he was on the podium in third place both in Australia and here in China. He is now fifth in the championship with 30 points. A very interesting comment. Man, I love this coverage on ESPN of Formula One with no commercials and, you know, commentary by David Croft and Martin Brundle. A very interesting comment was made by Crofty, David Croft, of Sky TV, that all last season and so far this season, Kimi Raikkonen has not made up a position on the opening lap of a race. That's kind of very, very strange for a driver of his caliber. And it's no wonder Vettel is mi amore of Signor Arriva Bene with these kind of stats, you know.
Yeah, of course. I mean, let's face it. The Kimi Raikkonen of the old days at McLaren are over.
Agree. Now, going back to Max, not to beat up on him too much, once upon a time, Fleetwood Mac had an album called Tango in the Night. Max should put out an album called Tango on the Track. He is at least an equal opportunity destroyer. Last weekend, he tangled with a four-time world champion, which caused him not to finish the race. This past weekend, he tangled with another four-time world champion. Both were able to continue, but the kid was given a 10-second penalty. Martin Brundle called his move on Vettel a day late and a dollar short. I don't think there was any chance of pulling off that move. Do you?
No, none.
Okay. Lackluster performance by him, both in quali and in the race. I would say, despite not being on the podium, it was a great race for him, as a victory by Seb would have made his life very difficult for Take 5, especially now that Red Bull is coming on so strong. And interestingly, you know, if we have a Mercedes 1-2 in Baku, which is possible, Lewis will be back on track and leading the championship, as he is now only 9 points behind Seb in the championship. Both Renaults were in the points, Nico Hülkenberg 6th and Carlos Sainz Jr. 9th. The Hulk has scored points in all three races. And we talked about your man, Nando. Like Bahrain, he was 7th in China and also scored much-needed points for the team from his 5th-place finish in Australia. Currently, he is 6th in the championship with 22 points. Now, what a difference a team and package makes. Considered by anyone who has any interest in motor racing as one of the all-time greats, Nando now makes news and exciting racing, duking out with Romain Grosjean in a Haas or Karma in a rental. This is really a sad, sad situation. But then came Indy. Now we're going to go to Mulsanne. I hope things don't go so low and slow for him at McLaren that we see him at Martinsville or Hickory Speedway, like you said, in Camping World Truck Series. My Dos Pesos, and this is, you know, at F1 Weekly, we offer free career advice. My Dos Pesos for any chance of championship number 3 is to invite Toto and Nikki for some paella culture in Madrid or Barcelona and offer his services free of charge. Now, if you remember, Ayrton Senna had offered this deal to Frank Williams to drive for him in 1993 because he wanted to win another world championship real bad, but a clause in the contract of Le Professeur prevented that happening. Sebastian salvaged 4 points from his 8th-place finish to stay on top of the championship with 54 points. Kimi, after a great 5th-place finish in Bahrain, he collected the final point for Haas team. His teammate Grosjean has yet to score a point this season. I won't be surprised if Grosjean is replaced at the end of the season by some other whippersnapper by Haas team. Surprisingly, Sergio Perez is also pointless this season, while his teammate Esteban Ocon has a grand total of 1 point. Force India not having a good start to the season. Lance Stroll, the Williams driver, may be pointless so far this season, but he is model of consistency. He has finished all 3 races in 14th position, and that's pretty impressive. Mercedes leads the Constructors' Championship despite not winning a race by 1 point, 85 to 84. Over Ferrari, Red Bull is third with 55. And finally, famous last words come from the race winner Daniel Ricciardo on his winning move in Shanghai. He said, and I quote, "Sometimes you've just got to lick the stamp and send it," end of quote. Well, his teammate is doing the same, but he's getting quite a bit of return to sender, no such number.
No such zone, return the sender. Ba-bum. I love it. Yeah.
With express mail damage, by the way.
Exactly.
Any final thoughts on Gran Premio de China?
Oh, I'm excited. You know, I think, first of all, now Ricciardo's got some momentum. Red Bull is going to pay more attention. There'll be the correct parts on the Renault engine when they arrived in Baku. I think there's a swing. And, of course, the pendulum has swung. Mercedes is suffering, LCH is not in a good mood, and when LCH is not in a good mood and the car doesn't suit him, Bottas is going to outqualify him. And I'm telling you, Ricciardo is the dude of the dudes. So he could be the new Machismo. I can't wait for Baku. I actually liked the track at Baku. Visually, it's very nice. And there you have it.
Yeah, you know, I agree that change has come, but I think it's a little too early to say that LCH is under Seb's thumb.
Well, let me put it this way. I'll sing under my thumb at the end of the season.
And that is very true. Now, do you already know who will you be singing for?
I'll be singing for Ricciardo. Bravo.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. Ricciardo has a chance of winning the championship. I mean, just a little bit more oomph from Udala from Renault Engines and a few kablamos or tangle between, his teammate and one of the other combatants, Seb and LCH. He may be in with a chance, you know.
Well, I'm thinking this. Let Max out-qualify Ricciardo. Max takes out the front row and Ricciardo wins again. Max is his best friend now.
Yeah, kind of like Kevin Cogan at the start of the 1982 Indy 500. Yeah, that can happen.
Exactly. So anyway, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with Motorsports Mondial.
Are you in business and want to make a hard-hitting visual impact that gets your name and message promoted? F1 Weekly knows from experience that the creative team of Caton Designs are graphic design geniuses and a company that can give your brand a visual pop in a cost-effective way. Contact Caton Designs at ketondesigns.com for visual messaging solutions that get your business image seen.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial, the king, the guru, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. We shall start with the left coast action from Long Beach, IndyCar action, I should say, in Southern California. On pole, man from Northern California, Alexander Rossi. The ex-F1 racer dominated the race and now leads the championship. Will Power was second. Ed Jones from UAE, United Arab Emirates, was third. And very impressive fourth was rookie driver from Ohio, Zach Veach. This was Rossi's third win in IndyCar racing. All have come at tracks which once hosted Formula One races. Indy, Watkins Glen, and now Long Beach. So good for one of the old original friends of F1 Weekly. I'm happy for him. So those who are new to motorsports or need to know, LBGP, Long Beach Grand Prix, used to be a Formula One race from 1976 to 1983. The inaugural F1 event was won by a Swiss driver, the late Clay Regazzoni, over his Ferrari teammate, Mr. Niki Lauda. The final F1 race in Long Beach was won by John Watson over his McLaren teammate, the one and only Mr. Lauda again. The first IndyCar race here in 1984 was won by Mario Andretti, who also won the F1 race here in 1977 with Lotus. IMSA Sports Car Championship was also in action at Long Beach. Monty was on pole for Penske Acura and finished fifth in the race. The winning drivers were Felipe Albuquerque and Joan Barbosa, both from Portugal in a Cadillac. Elio Castroneves, who is also driving for Penske in this series, was sixth. Cousin Felipe Nasr was seventh in his Caddyshack. Now we go to Rome for Formula E. This was a case of Volare. The race took place on the streets of Rome, the first Formula E race in Italy, or as the natives call it, Roma. Sam Bird, our favorite, was the winner, his second win of the season, which also puts him second in the championship. Lucas di Grassi was second, and one-time F1 racer Andre Lotterer third. Jean-Éric Bouin was fifth and stays in the championship lead. Next round is at the end of this month in Paris. Now, some happy news, you know. Formula Renault Euro Cup, which is basically the main entry level for kids coming out of karting in Europe and on the way to Formula One. Very pleased to report the opening race of the season at Paul Ricard was won by Logan Sargeant from Boca Raton, Florida. And we interviewed him some years ago when he was in karting, and he's a pretty good talent, and we will keep an eye on its progress in this series. Okay, now, looking ahead to this is a series I've been following for a long time and some special interest this year to the European Formula 3. This is the last year of this series, and next year they will merge with GP3, as we all know by now. The season starts on the streets of Po next month. A few weeks ago, they had their third and final preseason test at Misano in Italy. The field is so tight in terms of times that it is hard to predict championship winner at this stage. Mick Schumacher, son of Michael, Ferdinand Habsburg, and Ralph Aron are experienced drivers, while the young guns include Daniel Tictum, Macau Grand Prix winner, Sascha Fenestra, Formula Renault Euro Cup champion from last year, Marcus Armstrong, the Italian Formula 4 champion, and F1 Weekly friend Inam Ahmed, who was British F3 champion last year. The series features three races per weekend, and most of the cars are powered by VW or Mercedes engines. Next year it will merge with GP3, as I already said, and will become a spec series, as VW has announced they will not provide engines. It's not yet confirmed who the engine supplier will be next year, but we will keep our listeners and familiar members posted on that. Already there are plans to use the current F3 cars for a new series, which of course will not be called F3, as that would be the name retained after the merger with GP3. And now, sir, we don't have a fortune cookie, but we do have a Chinese goodie bag. May I proceed with your express written consent?
I'll text you right now.
Okay, Pedro. I got it, man. First race in the land of Mao in 2004 was won by the two-legged Rubinho from pole position. The 2005 Chinese Grand Prix was the season finale and was won from pole by the new and then youngest world champion, El Machismo Fernando Alonso. It was the final Grand Prix for two teams and one driver. The teams would be Jordan and Minardi, and the driver known as Jungle Boy because he came from Amazon province of Brazil, Mr. Antonio Pisonia. Michael Schumacher and Christian Albers collided on the warm-up lap and started from the pit lane. I remember this incident very well, watching on live TV. Shanghai was also the place where the supreme leader of the Reds scored his 91st and final F1 triumph. That would be Shomi in 2006. Scott Speed from Manteca, California, was 11th in his Toro Rosso. 2007. People find love letters in the sand. Lewis Hamilton lost the championship in the Pebbles. Kimi gave Ferrari their 200th Grand Prix win, and smoke got in his eyes, as this was last race where Marlboro name was seen on an F1 car. 2008, first of five wins for LCH. Others came in 2011, 14, 15, and last year. 2009, maiden Poland win for both driver and team, Sebastian Vettel and Red Bull. 2010, Rule Britannia in Manchuria. Mercedes 1-2 led by JB over LCH. This was the first 1-2 by English driver since the 1969 Monaco Grand Prix. when Graham Hill won over Pierce Courage. And Pierce Courage was a very good friend of Frank Williams and lost his life in a fiery accident at the Dutch Grand Prix in 1970. So there you have it, sir. A brief serving of Szechuan dumpling, fresh from Shanghai.
Thank you, sir. Keep up the good work. It's going to be exciting in Baku next week. I'm looking forward to it. Damn!
It's hard to predict who will win now, huh?
Well, you know, Ricciardo got me all pumped up because all this lack of overtaking talk. And he just went in there and said, chop, 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 chop.
Yeah, and being a street race, I expect a safety car or a full course yellow.
A couple of them.
Yeah, so...
And we know Max is going to be doing the Schlemiel and the Schlemazel.
Yeah, I think he's going to be competing against the walls of Baku.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I know he's had a good talking to by all of his entourage.
Well, I think, you know, if he gets the pole, then it'll be very hard to beat this guy in a street race if he starts from pole. Let me tell you that.
That's very true. And on the other hand, a street race could be advantage McLaren. So let's watch Fernando doing some clinical passing.
Who would you put your money on, a red car or a silver car for this race?
Red car.
Yeah, me too.
Bottas is going to come in second again.
Bottas is going to come in second. Well, if it's a Mercedes 1-2, that will be very good for LCH. He will be leading the championship.
It's not going to happen, dude. LCH is done.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm serious.
No, I don't think.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Yeah, okay. Maybe he'll have a salad and take some vitamins, a couple of pills of vitamin B12.
No. All he needs to do is reach. No, that's not how he recharges. He recharges by coming to California, hanging out with what you call, you know what, and have a double-double at In-N-Out and walk on the Hall of Fame or whatever it's called in Beverly Hills.
Well, as you know, a couple of days ago was 420. And, of course, here in California, a lot of people light up on 420. So I'm sure LCH was with Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, he needs to hang out with Puff Daddy so he can puff off his performance.
That's a good idea. So let me text Puff and Snoopy, and we'll get things pumped up here.
There you go. Pump up the volume, LCH.
Exactly. So there you have it. Look forward to Baku. Vettel is probably not going to win, but it could be Kimi's first win for Ferrari in a long, long time. And now, an added bonus at the end of the podcast, and please tell us what's happening here. I think it's the press room in St. Petersburg.
Yes, sir, it is. I had the media pass courtesy of F1 Weekly and the good graces of the host. So I was there, and Mr. Race winner, Sebastian Bourdais, he was being interviewed, so I recorded that. So I thought it would be a good idea if we can share with our listeners what the race winner from the opening race of the IndyCar season had to say this year.
Sebastian, what a storyline. From one major storyline in the race to the next, a back-to-back win for you. It has to feel just so good to have the year that you had last year and open up the 2018 season with what happened today.
Yeah, I hope history is going to repeat itself until Indy, to be honest. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. We ended up, you know, qualifying poorly. We didn't get a good lap. I didn't get a good lap yesterday. With one or another circumstance, with the one lap after the red flag, we were comfortably in Q2 prior to the red flag, and yeah, it felt like, man, we just missed a good opportunity to start at the front. But it definitely seems like this race is disjointed enough that it doesn't really seem to matter where you start. You're still gonna have opportunities to make it happen, and it sure did today. I tried to to avoid the punches and to make sure I wasn't going to hit anyone, and it worked out. Until I felt a little tap in the back, and then sure enough, I get another arm on the dash, and I got a right rear tire going down on the opening lap, and like, damn, here we go again. and so you come in the pit, change tires. It was a brand new set of red tires as well. This is awesome. So now you're at the back, and you know, obviously the back isn't really the back so much anymore, because by the time I came back around, there were like four or five cars that were stuffed in the walls, sideways, backwards, in tires, tangled or whatever. So it was a bit of a crazy start, and then it just kept getting crazier and crazier, restart after restart. I couldn't settle into any kind of rhythm, and with all those yellows, you know, I knew this was going to turn into a two-stopper from there, and And so the team played it perfect. We ended up with a bunch of other guys on the same strategy, and some other guys offset by some, but not, you know, drastically so. But the great thing I knew for us was that obviously we're not going to be exposed to yellows for the rest of the race, because we just decided to shift everything forward. We didn't, you know, dumpster dive or anything. We just pitted on the early side of the window, so we're just going to run along stints until the end of the race. And you know, we ran quick, clean, and we got ourselves in third. Traffic was, you know, obviously Zach was defending his, you know, his teammates' interest, which was arguably, you know, okay, whatever. But, you know, better not ask for favors down the road, because they won't get them. And then Rene got in the way as well on the outlaps sequence. And, you know, I had too much understeer in the car, and as soon as we were getting traffic, I just really couldn't produce any lap time, so that really compounded the effect. And I was really happy with third. You know, once I saw that, obviously, those two guys got around at the pit sequence, I was like, well, we'll just take whatever is coming our way. Podium is a great start to the season. And then I finally got around Veach, and then quite almost instantly it goes yellow. I'm like, yeah, and that's going to be it. Crap show. You know, it's gonna be terrible. Like, people are just gonna feel like $1 million again, and they're all gonna feel like they're gonna win it, and we're gonna end up with a pile of cars on top of each other in turn one. And I wasn't completely wrong. I wasn't completely right, but I wasn't completely wrong either. And I got myself to the guy in front. I just tried to get a good exit of the European. All I cared about was to, you know, keep that podium. And then I saw Robert and Alex just going at it. They both wanted it really bad, and I have no idea whose fault it is or if it's just a race incident, but you know, when I saw both of them starting to drift, going for the apex and getting themselves in the marbles, I'm like, oh boy. And then sure enough, they both skated off, hit once, twice, one spun, the other one recovered, and I was through, and then it went yellow, and that was that. So just a crazy day. I couldn't ask him. I couldn't dream of that ending.
You literally, that was a very verbose answer, and you literally answered every follow-up question that I was going to ask.
Sorry.
The only one that I will go ahead and bring up is obviously just what this track means to you and what the city means to you. I know that it has embraced you. I know that you have certainly embraced it as your home and what it means to win on your home track.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, the response of the community, the support, the pulling together from everybody, and the sponsors for the Kart for Kids race, you know, the IndyCar community, driver sponsors, partners, people in general. You know, we started off the week in a great way. It was 130, 35, whatever is going to be left at the end, and for our children, and it's just, you know, it was just a great start to the week. And yeah, they embrace me, and you know, there's more and more stuff coming with the city and trying to promote and grow the event with Kim and Kevin, and everybody's doing a great job. They're putting a lot of heart in it, and I'm just trying to help. And obviously, when you win in front of friends and family, it's very special. So you know, I couldn't really be any happier about that.
Perfect.
And also, you know, for us, yeah, I was going to forget. You know, it was the CL Masters annual awards ceremony, and you know, franchisees convention and everything. So they were in Clearwater on the beach, and you know, we're with them on Friday night, and they had every single one of them on site today. So what a way to start the relationship with CL Master. That was quite awesome.
Very cool. We will open up for questions, starting with Aaron.
How do you look back on the last 2-3 years of your career? You won, I mean, a couple times now. How many trophies do you have of those around here?
Yeah, I mean, the shelving is starting to be a little crowded in St. Pete. You know, I didn't, when we came back in 12, we didn't bring anything. We just came with our luggages. I went to IKEA, and that was that. So there was nothing in the house, and the collection is getting bigger quite nicely. Not at the pace it was when I was in the Champ Car days, but you know, there's some Daytona trophies, some Sebring trophies, some Road Atlanta, some IndyCar trophies, and Yeah, we've managed to win one pretty much every year since 14, so I'm pretty happy to keep that streak alive.
It's always fun to read about Le Mans and how you drove on those roads going to school as a kid. And I mean, it's a little bit of a different story here, but these are your two, you know, home cities. And so winning it back-to-back, and it's been a comeback story after the Indy debacle last year. So how do you look back on the last few years?
Yeah, it was very emotional in the car on the in-lap. It's tough to put it into words, but for sure, you always get you get the questions from people, is he going to be the same? Is he going to come back? Is he this? Is he that? I think I really tried to leave no room for uncertainty as far as what I was going to do and how forward I was going to go. By coming back, to Gateway last year, 2.5 months later, it's been bumpy, it's been tough, it's been everything in between, but I've gotten a lot of support from the physio to my family to everybody on board, and it's been pretty hard for myself, I think, in some ways, obviously, but more for people around me and certainly for my wife. So it's quite an achievement to be able to restart the season and settle the matter right away and get back on the horse and win another one.
Bruce.
I'm sure I can hear you.
I don't know, but they make us do it.
It's for the transcript.
They'll hear you anyways.
No way to do it in the sign language?
A little bit of a follow-up off the Indy question, but I mean, there were some people who wondered whether, what you'd be like when you came back. Did you ever question yourself at all while you were recovering that, maybe a lot harder to get back to victory lane than in the first race of the following season? And I have a follow-up to that.
For me, it was very straightforward. Once I knew what the injuries were and that we're not going to be long-lasting effects, then it was like ice forwards and, get back on the horse and, get back to what I do, get back to my life. I mean, I don't know my life any other way. I'm 39 and honestly, everybody, I'm aging and everybody's starting to make me feel old. Especially those kids when they start to be on board at, 20 or whatever, like I was when I first came. But, at the end of the day, this is my life, this is what I want to be doing, and as long as I'm competitive, this is what I'll be doing. So, it's just a great feeling to be able to, like I said, restart that way and make a statement, really, because it was obviously not a given. And, that new era kid was... everything was up in the air. Nobody really knew how it was going to shake out, who was going to have what. And we were competitive. We didn't have the fastest car, but we were in the mix. So just a great way to get going again.
And the other thing is Dale doubled down on your team again this year and brought in Jimmy Vassar, your old buddy from the Champ Car days, and also Solly. And how special is that to not only get Dale another victory, but first race for Solly and Vassar?
Well, obviously to get Solly and Jimmy over with us and Dale and making them a part of this was a big commitment from Dale. It's been his baby for many, many years, and for him to trust these guys and the way he did and to bring them on board and bring the commercial and the marketing side, which arguably we're probably not developing as a group, the way we. Because it's just us and it's Dale, and that's the way we function, and now they're definitely bringing something else to the table, and when you combine forces, you're only stronger. And like I said, the big storyline is that we bring a new sponsor with Seal Master, and they're all here this weekend. And, it kind of brings me back to the McDonald's day, the first time that had McDonald's on the car, we ended up winning at Cleveland, and it just kind of. Pave the road for the next four years. So hopefully we'll have some kind of storyline like that.
Before we get to Jim, we do welcome in team owner Dale Coyne. Dale, I'll ask you a similar question, but at the same time, this gentleman brought you a win here last year, bringing you a back-to-back win. How great is it to have him back in your car, full-time, healthy, and back to his winning ways?
Well, Sebastian said the mayor's going to name a street after him now. He's won two in a row, so Hopefully this is home street, but no, we're very excited about it. Did you say you were 39? You told me 34. He's doing a great job. I mean, what can you say? I mean, we're very pleased he came back with us, you know, several years ago after his European, you know, adventure, and he came back again last year. So, you know, we worked well together. Today's race was strained. We cut a tire early, and really, it's like the race started fresh after that. We did two pit stops early in the first two yellows there. To, you know, but then he was at the back of the pack, but then it became a strategy race, and then he was same as last year. We helped him with the strategy to get to the front, but then he takes care of it from there. And, you know, we were lucky this year. Last year, I think we had a better car compared to the field than we did this year. This pass out of Pagano last year was pretty special. This year, we had some luck, obviously, at the end. Otherwise, we'd have been third, but that's the way it works in racing. Yeah. So, but no, very happy with his abilities and the way everybody works together, Craig and the team, and having Vassar, some of them back this year has been really nice. Good, they bring something to the team that I don't do, and so that's very helpful.
Jim.
I have one question for Sebastian and one for Dale. Sebastian, you mentioned the stints being pretty long after your early stop. Is it easier or harder to manage the fuels and the fuel and tires with the new car, or has it changed?
No, I think it's always a little harder on the tires when you have less downforce, right? I mean, you slide a bit more, so there was more degradation. And I don't think, like Dale said, I don't think the car was as well balanced as we had it last year. And the car was pretty good up last year.
Keep up the good work, Nas, and thank you, IndyCar Series. So there you have it, Nas. I want to thank all the listeners who listen. Good night.
Thank you, Baba.
Bravo.
Man, but no one understands him but his woman.
John Jack.